says in the, it says, Nando Ballard, it's the worst offence, it's the seventh offence to commit sinful activity in the strength of chanting. And obviously, we never advise anyone to stop chanting, even if they are performing sinful activity, we always encourage them to continue. So, is it more offensive, even more offensive than the seventh offence, is to stop chanting completely?
Sometimes different offences or different things are given different weight or different priority depending on what perspective you're approaching it. So in that sense, it's not so. That's a secondary issue. What's the most important? What's the worst offense? But what was it that you were asking?
Well, you would never advise a person to stop chanting, say, you know, you're so offensive that you should just stop chanting.
So, right.
Because the seventh is the worst offense, but then even worse than the seventh offense is to stop chanting completely.
It's not an offense, nor is that it's not an offense not to chant the holy name. But the point is that it's better to chant offensively than to chant not chanting at all. Nama prada yuktanam namidam harantiyagam. Even if one chants offensively and commits all kinds of sins, you should continue to chant, because in due course of time, and it may be a long time, he becomes free from offenses. And that's... the only way you get there is by chanting. So one should never stop chanting. She committed some offense, but even if they're offended, then Krishna will protect us, because we're just doing it for him. So sometimes foolish people may become offended. Etiquette for approaching everyone, a devotee, even if it's approaching one's guru, right time, right place, in the right way. Ultimately, devotees need to be brave enough to do the right thing, and if you do the right thing in the right way, then you're protected, and that's all right. Just like in the beginning of the, or not the beginning, but in that Krishna Bhajanamrita, there's direction as to how to approach and correct one's own guru. So that's sort of a high level of etiquette, and if one follows that in approaching seniors, then you can't go wrong. Yeah, we all need counseling. Sometimes, or all the time. Ultimately, even if one becomes a very advanced devotee, counseling takes the form of sadhu sangha, of hearing about Krishna and hearing about Krishna's pastimes. And that only happens in the association of devotees. Yeah. Well, that's one type of shiksha. There are many types of shikshas, and there are many types of Vaishnavas from whom we take instruction. Someone who gives us guidance doesn't necessarily become what you would recognize as a shiksha guru. But other types of other way in which people receive knowledge. It's called Shravan Guru and so on. People from whom one hears but may not be on the same level or same platform as someone to become a Shiksha Guru. Often Shiksha Gurus referred to in very exalted terms. But Yo Lehat, but still, you can't overemphasize spiritual life or relationship between guru and disciple, but when you underemphasize shiksha, then it places diksha into an uneven balance. So the idea is not to devalue diksha gurus, but it's to further value shiksha gurus and beyond, and also aside from either shiksha or diksha gurus, to actually value the institutional structure, and be they shiksha or diksha gurus, that they're subordinate to that, belong to it, have no authority, assets, rights, manpower separate from it. And that's very important, because the health of our Krishna consciousness movement is going to depend on it. And one of the reasons why it's having problems is because the concept of guru is not fully under the structure and authority of the institution, and therefore I sometimes willingly, mostly unknowingly, there's a parallel institution or institutions, which is the guru-disciple relationships, in which gurus move manpower, resources, and so on, in a way that's not necessarily under the will or proactive authority of the society. And that's a problem. That's a problem, because it means that resources, manpower, and so on become depleted from ISKCON, and ISKCON loses its identity as the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Okay, let's sort of stop there.